got to keep being reminded. Why? Because the battle is real. What battle? Battle of sin, battle of sinful nature, battle of old self versus, again, our new self in the Lord Jesus Christ. That battle's real every day. Can I get an amen?
Hey, listeners, great to have you here today on Live in the Light. We are going verse by verse through the book of 2 Peter in a very practical series on Christian living called Character, Corruption, and the Second Coming. Today's message is a great reminder of, well, being reminded. I appreciate a great reminder, don't you?
I really do. I mean, this concept, biblically speaking, comes up so many places. I love that the Bible specifically says that we need to be reminded. You're right, Shannon. You do, I do all the time, and our listeners need to be reminded of what? Of what is most important. It's a biblical principle. It's a truth we need to hear, and it's a truth we need to hear it again and again. Can I just reach out to our Live in the Light listeners too? You, again, wonderful, wonderful people and listeners that are so supportive. If God's been working in your heart, again, take the time to let us know. Our team loves to hear how God is working. It encourages us so much. When you do that, it's a blessing to us. I just, would you take a few moments, liveinthelight.ca, email, call, whatever you need to do. Let us know how God is working too. If God is stirring you to support this ministry that we can reach more people to. We love our power partners, those who are being led by God to donate monthly again towards us, that we can see what the Lord will do through this ministry and the word of God reaching in many, many, many people. So if God is working your heart, bless you, encourage you, and get excited to be reminded of things that matter most. Shannon, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1.
Here we go. A gentle, firm, but clear reminder to keep in the direction of what matters most. Open your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and here we go. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Please open your Bibles to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, we're continuing in our series, obviously, in 2 Peter. We have a few verses to go through today, four verses, in fact. And this passage today, it's a short one and a simple one. Again, another one of these passages you could read in like 30 seconds and move on and maybe not think much. This passage, though, is one that always excited me, like unusually so, always stirred me, and it's always encouraged me so much. First time I'd been able to preach this ever in this detail here today. And I think the reason it encourages me so much is because of the principle that is presented in verses 12 to 15. Maybe it's because I love simplicity so much. I'm a simple guy. I love simplicity. I love clarity. We need so much clarity in life just to hear what God has said and to be able to follow again where he wants us to go. Maybe it's because I love simplicity and clarity. What I do know about myself when it comes to God's word and just my life and preaching and all of that is I firmly believe. I mean, like I really, really believe that there are certain things that as believers, we must never, ever move on from. And I think one of the things I'm called to, again, as a minister of the gospel and as a leader in any regard, again, in the church, is just the simple call of calling churches, pastors, leaders back to that which God guarantees to bless. Like, make sure we never move on from that which God says, this is the person, this is the leader, this is the church, this is the family I guarantee to bless. Because if you move on from that, you're in huge trouble. You're in huge trouble. And so I think we take for granted often. I think we assume certain, oh yeah, I know that. And we go on to the program. No. Never allow the program to take place of the presence of the Lord. And so there's things we must never, ever tire of being reminded of. And we don't ever graduate from these things. Like, we're constantly growing and learning. And I think that's why I resonate with Peter's heart here so much. I find it amazing that this passage, in a sense, is in here among many others in scripture, because the Holy Spirit obviously decided this was important. And the Holy Spirit, who inspired ultimately the word of God, this word is without error, inspired by God, again, inerrant, completely again sufficient in every regard, the Holy Spirit decided this paragraph needed to be here today. Again, for me, it encourages me because it cements what is good and right and true. And listen, it is right for our church to continually hammer the essential truths. It is right for us to continually pound the nail that needs to be again secure as our foundation and what is most true. So in verses 12 to 15 today, Peter says three times this concept of, I got to remind you. He says, I intend to always remind you. He says, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. And he says that when I'm gone, you may recall these things or call to mind the truth that you may have them always again with you in your heart, mind, and your life. So all that to say this, our sermon title today, our thesis today is we must never tire of being reminded. We must never tire of being reminded of the fact that we need to be reminded. Peter here explains why. 2 Peter 2, verse 12, take a look. Therefore, again, every verse is building off the one that came before it. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, referring from verses 3 to 11. Though you know them, notice, though you know them and are established in the truth, that doesn't matter, the truth that you have. He says, I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up, to awaken you by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. That's almost for sure, Peter referring to what Jesus said about him in John chapter 21 and the way that he would die. Verse 15, and I will make every effort. Look at that, Peter's, he's pretty excited about this. I will make every effort so that after my departure, my death, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So I hope you're following along as we read that. There's a lot here, like in this short passage, there's a lot here in the principle and the importance of reminding and reminder. So here we go. Here's our outline today. Here's why I must be continually reminded of certain truths. Number one, because it calls me back to what matters most. I must be continually reminded of the qualities here in 2 Peter 1, the truths of God, because it calls me back to what matters most. Again, verse 12. Therefore, Peter says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Now, in some ways, Peter is stating the entire purpose of his letter in 2 Peter, right here in these verses. This is what he's telling us. He's like, here's why I wrote. I'm going to remind you and remind you and remind you. My entire intention, churches, is to remind you again of what is most essential. Because when you are reminded of such things, man, the rewards are massive. So again, we must learn here, the Holy Spirit has inspired this principle, this very important principle of reminder. Now, there are aspects of teaching, again, that must never be forgotten. And they just can't be said enough. Why? Because so much is at stake. Contextually here, remember this, right? Contextually in 2 Peter, Peter is very aware of the false teachers coming against God's people. So the best way to protect the church against false teachers is the statement of what is true. We know this, it's been often said, the best defense against a counterfeit is to study the actual thing. The more that we are aware and versed in the truth of God, then the more we are equipped to discern what is false when it comes against us. This is why we must grow. Hebrews 5 is an incredibly powerful passage when it speaks of those who remain infants in Christ are not mature. Because they're not mature, they have not discernment and wisdom. Because they have not discernment and wisdom, they cannot discern what is good and evil. So a super baby Christian isn't wise enough or mature enough to know what is right and wrong. So they get carried away by every wind and doctrine, Ephesians 4. You see, so this is a massive principle here that we grow in the truth. We're reminded of such truth. We're mature in the truth. And then we can stand again in what is true. And this is why also then the principle of mind renewal, which is in many ways we're kind of really around that principle of mind renewal, I believe in my convictions, the principle of mind renewal is the top five of the Christian life. The top five principles of the entire Christian life in terms of discipleship and growth in Jesus Christ. For example, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2 here. Do not be conformed to this world. That's the temptation every day. This is what Peter is really, again, talking about all throughout this letter. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't listen to the world. Don't go with the world. Don't be persuaded by the world. Rather be transformed. Real transformation comes by, notice, the renewal of your mind. When your mind is renewed, when your mind is cleansed from the filth of this world, notice that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's splash some commentary on top of this right here. Let's go with the next slide if we can, okay? So notice what this is why mind renewal is the top five principle of the entire Christian life. This is why you and I have to see it, hear it, live it, be reminded again of it all the time. The renewal of a mind leads to transformation. You say, I want to be transformed, not without renewing your mind. Can't happen. How we think eventually determines again our thoughts, or what we put in our mind determines our thoughts, determines again our intents, and eventually leads to our fruit. Mind renewal leads to transformation. You may be transformed. Transformation through the mind renewal of the truth leads to wisdom and discernment that you may discern. When you lead to wisdom and discernment, you know what God's will is, that you may know what is, again, the will of God, and then where God's will is leads to God's blessing, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. You pursue good, acceptable, and perfect. You're gonna be in the path of God. It'll be easy, it's gonna be great. Not gonna be easy, it's gonna be blessed. It all comes back to mind renewal. The renewal of the mind, and this is the process. Well, I'm just sharing with you processes I go through every day, or if not every week of my life. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Again, another reason I wake up this morning and I open God's word to wash my mind of what is not true, to cleanse my mind of what is filthy from the world, and to renew my mind in what is true. Peter's like, amen, 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 amen. Because this is what Peter is saying, as Paul just said in Romans 12. This is what Peter is saying again in his letter right here. Mind renewal cleanses our minds. I've said this many times over the years, but I think like when I read the Bible, when we do this together, right now we are taking a shower under the word of God. We are washing the filth of lies of the world away, and we are finding ourselves cleansed before the Lord and thinking according to the thoughts of God. That is very, very encouraging to me. Back to verse 12. Look at verse 12. Notice Peter says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. I intend always. This is how much Peter's into this. He's like, man, I'm all in. This principle of reminder, I want to do it all the time. Peter knows how essential it is that people are reminded of what matters most, right? Why is that so key? Well, what? Robert Robertson, who wrote the powerful lyrics to, again here, to Come Thou Found, he said this. He says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that so true? We just stop here for a second and just kind of reflect on the fact that every day we are prone to wander. Just me? Anyone else? Good, about three or four of us, excellent. Okay, we'll huddle after the service. But we are, aren't we, every single day? We're prone. This is what sin does. This is what Satan does. This is what the worldliness does. This is what the culture does, continually drawing us away. And I love, in this hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, yes. And he's like, again, doubling down, reminding me, here's my heart, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my heart, take and seal it. I need you, Lord, again, I resurrender. Seal it for thy courts above. Because the temptation to wander is so real, we have to be reminded again of what is true and to come back to that. We're prone to wander what? We're prone to wander into distraction. Just think, even this morning, like, you know, for me again, like word open, you're sitting there, you know, I'm sitting there in my chair, and extra hour this morning, amen? Extra hour? Yeah, let's go. That was awesome. But I'm just sitting there, and it's amazing how your mind just so quickly goes to other places. And you're like, wait, come back. It's incredible. Not to mention just living life. We're kind of, oh, I'm going to go for the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's like, we're over here. We're doing this, you know, and we're wandering away. We wander off into distraction. We wander into detours away from God. Some of you are right now are here. I'm so glad you're here. But the reality is spiritually, you've been on a detour for a while. Like, you're here, maybe physically, but just spiritually and just mentally, maybe. It's been a tough season. And there's been a huge detour away from God. That's what our sin, and that's what Satan wants to do. We wander into deception of sin. Without a doubt, there's people here right now that you have wandered off into sin. You have been deceived by sin. You have believed the lie that sin is the answer, that sin is pleasure, that sin is fulfillment. And we've wandered away from God's will into sin, which is never, ever going to work out well. We are prone to wander. Some of us have wandered into darkness. There's some here listening, whoever it might be. The reality is, I mean, a room this size, I mean, come on, absolutely. If we have been deceived by sin and now we're really into darkness and the darkness wants to kill us. And this is what prone to wander. It's interesting, right? So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the greatest charges in the entire New Testament, when Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Wow, what a charge that is. And then he says, preach the word. He says, preach the word. Stand on the truth. But then from there, he says, because the time is coming where many will not endure sound teaching. They will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions, who will tickle or itch their ears. And listen, and he says in verse 4, he says, and they will wander away from the truth, or they will deny the truth and wander off into myths. That's the warning right there, because that's what happens. That's what happens. So therefore, Timothy, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Hope Church, preach the word. Preach the word. Exhort each other in the word. Remind each other what is true. To call back to what matters most. Peter's all over this. Just Paul and Peter, so connected. Obviously, the book, the Bible is so, so beautifully intertwined. It's supernatural. So notice too, Peter's reminding them right now, but he intends to remind them in the future. I always intend to remind you. Again, by the Holy Spirit, Peter's going to do that when he's living, but he's also going to do that long after he's died. In fact, here we are today, 2,000 years later, still being reminded by the truth that Peter was given by the Holy Spirit. That's encouraging. And then in verse 12, he says, though you know them. See, so that's one of the dangers right now. We're sitting here like, oh, yeah, I know. Do you? Like, that's not the attitude we should have. It's not like, yeah, I know. I'm establishing the truth, man. Move on to someone else. No. The truly humble, the truly mature person is like, I got to hear it again. I'm not beyond this truth. I need to know this truth. Peter's like, I know you're established, but I don't care. You got to keep being reminded. Why? Because the battle is real. What battle? Battle of sin, battle of sinful nature, battle of old self versus, again, our new self in the Lord Jesus Christ. That battle's real every day. Can I get an amen? That battle's real. Listen to this little poem here, anonymously given. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. Now that's true. Let's look at that for a second. This is why we must be reminded. Some of us need to be reminded of this right now. It's like, wow, you're right. Like, if I feed my obviously old self, sinful flesh, that's gonna dominate my life. If I seek to feed again, the Holy Spirit lives within me and the temple and Jesus Christ, then that's going to dominate my life and living and bearing fruit again for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So if I can say it this way, one of the dangers of knowledge in Christ, one of the dangers of even like in some ways growth in Christ is we start to think of ourselves too highly and then we think we've arrived. And then we think we've arrived. We talked about this a little bit last week too. We think we've arrived, then we're like, well, I've graduated beyond this kind of place. And then I don't need to hear it again. That's one of the great dangers again. But the truly mature are like, no, I need to hear this again and again and again. For example, let's take the principle of abiding in Christ, right? Like, do we ever get beyond the need to abide in Jesus Christ? Of course not. But some will say, yeah, I know about abiding. I know, Robbie, I know about abiding. And they'll say, oh, well, okay, but are you living it? Like the very fact you say, yeah, I know. That's very concerning for me, you know? Yeah, I know about prayer independence. Yeah, we talked a lot about that. It's on paper somewhere. Yeah, I know. You know, a lot of churches do that. A lot of churches. They're like, yeah, we know. Prayer. But then there's no prayer. There's no prayer meetings. Or it's like a token prayer. There's no prayer among the pastors, no prayer among the leaders, no prayer among the families, there's no prayer among the church. They're like, there's no prayer. Yeah, we know prayer. But then there's nothing happening. I'm like, well, apparently you need to hear it again. Apparently you need to be reminded of that, which is absolutely essential and so massively important. This is what Peter is doing here right now. Let's just remind ourselves of what Peter has been reminding the church of so far in 2 Peter. He has reminded them of the gospel, verses 2 and 4. He has reminded them of character, verses 5 and 7. He has reminded them of fruitfulness, verse 8. He has reminded them of endurance, verse 10. And he has reminded them of the reality of the eternal kingdom, verse 11. He has reminded them of what matters most. Listen, loved ones, because in the end, that's all that matters. In the end, it's all that matters. Let me ask you this here, just as we move on here to the second point in a second. What's your plan? I mean this sincerely. What's your plan to make God's vision your vision? Do you have a plan to make sure that God's vision is your vision on a daily basis? What's your plan to make God's plan your plan? To make God's will your will? Do you have a plan, a strategy, to make God's priorities your priorities on a daily basis? How do you, when you're wandering, how do you get back? What's the plan? What do the priorities of God consist of? What is most important to your life? What are you willing to die for? What is carrying you on into eternity? Like what is it at the end of the day that matters most to God and therefore should matter most to us? These are very important questions. Peter's helping us a ton in chapter one with this. But I find we need way more believers to be able to answer that question. Here's my plan to make God's plan increasingly my plan. Here's my plan so that the priorities of God are the priorities within my life, because those are the priorities that God promises to bless. So I need to be continually reminded, because it calls me back to what matters most. It's happening right now, as we do this right now in this sermon, it's happening. The Holy Spirit is using that. Number two, because it awakens me to my purpose. I need to be reminded all the time because it awakens me to my purpose. Look at verse 13. I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Do you think Pastor Robbie likes the verb stir up there? Do you think so? Yes, I do. That is exciting. I'm excited to get there. Stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Okay? First thing I want us to see here, notice what Peter refers to twice. He refers to his imminent death. Peter's like, I'm going to die soon. Time my departure has come. I will put off my body. He's speaking of his death. Notice the reality of Peter's death heightens his purpose, and the reality of his death heightens the purpose of others that he wants to care for. Life is short. He knows his time is coming to an end. He's doubling down on reminding them of what matters most to their purpose. We learn a lot from Peter here, by the way. By the way, I just want to on this point here of Peter, like, man, I'm about to die, but he's not afraid of death. See that? Rather, it's death that motivates Peter. Hey, we live in a society now that is really living in denial of death. Death is pretty much a forbidden subject now. It's like wrong to talk about death in many circles and places. It's incredible to me. That's really, really hurting us as a culture, because last time I checked, death comes for all. However, there are increasing, mostly among very, very wealthy people in our society, there are increasing billionaires who somehow are trying to convince themselves that they can prevent death. I came across an article, just happened to this week. It's a Canadian telecom executive. He sold his telecom company for well over $1 billion, and he is now, quote, obsessed with evading death. Good luck, bro. Good luck. He's obsessed with evading death. And his goal is to live to 200, okay? And I'm like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want, he does. And he is making it his entire priority right now to set up and somehow to, he wants to, again, quote, this is in the article, to make death a preventable disease. And then you have another massive billionaire down in the States, and I learned this through this article too this week, that he is also obsessed with evading death, and he is literally spending $2 million a year on every test possible for his own physical body. $2 million a year just on tests and how he's doing physically to try to somehow, again, escape death. What do we call these people? Fools. We call them fools. But when you have nothing to live for, or at least when you are terrified of what happens after death, then all of a sudden this world becomes everything. All of a sudden, all you have to live for is here and now. And the Bible tells us the exact opposite. We have purpose now, but man, our home is not here. Amen. Our home is not here. Our home is heaven and the reality and the return of Jesus Christ. And he sets up the new heavens and the new earth, which Peter is going to speak about again in this letter as well. So for the believer in Jesus Christ, death is not to be feared. Why? Well, we learned just even in verse 11 that death is the entranceway into the eternal kingdom. So for the Christ follower, death, you have no sting. Death, you have no victory. Death is a reality, but listen, for the believer in Christ, death is actually the beginning of victory. We need to be reminded of this, church. Like right now, this is healthy for me to say aloud. You need to hear this, because a lot of us are living in such a way that all that matters is now. No, that's not true. I mean, life's all around us, isn't it? And listen, death is all around us. Life and death is all around us all the time. I mean, every single week, if not every day, I hear stories, and so do you, of life and death. So we got to live in such a way that we're ready and being reminded of what actually matters. The brevity of Peter's life leads to the urgency of Peter's purpose. That's what's happening right here in our text. I want you to notice that Peter refers to his, quote, body twice. A literal translation for the word body in the Greek here can also be translated tent. Putting off of my tent is soon. Tent, what is a tent? It's a temporary structure. The Apostle Paul said the same thing using the same word. Look on the screen here, 2 Corinthians 5. Look at it. He says, for in this tent we groan. Can I get an amen? Amen. Groaning. You know, I literally got down yesterday. I was with some friends and I got up and I was, apparently I didn't realize I groaned. Like, hey bro, you okay, man? You okay? And like, no, I'm not okay. And that's what happens. We are groaning, but what? Every time we groan, you know how much I love groaning? We groan because we're longing for what is to come. The earth, creation is groaning for its complete redemption. We groan physically, spiritually, emotionally. Man, we groan because this is not all there is, praise God. We groan because we long to put on our heavenly dwelling. So think about it. Anyone who sets up a tent is not there for long. Fair? You set up a tent, you're not there for long. A tent is used for transitory purposes, right? So we have these foolish, wealthy billionaires that are trying to immortalize their tents. It's never, ever going to work. And here you have Peter and Paul, two apostolic heavyweights, both insisting in their own way and very similarly, this world is not our home. This world is not our home. Why? They're like, because we have bodies that are tents. They're tents, which means what? As the Bible says over and over again, we are strangers, aliens, we are sojourners in this world because this world is not our home. Our hope is not here. Our hope is not here. Hey, brothers and sisters, you have to live like your hope is not here. Your hope is not in your bank account. Your hope is not, again, in your house. Your hope is not in your job here. It's not. Your hope is not in other people. Your hope is in Christ. Amen. Your hope is in the kingdom. Your hope is in eternity. So look at Philippians chapter 3. Notice and love this verse. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is a reason to live right here. We do as much as we can for Christ now because this is our future reality and this is the hope that we have. You know, I read this morning in Titus 2 as I was seeking to renew my mind in my Bible readings. And in Titus 2, he says, waiting for our blessed hope, the return of Jesus. Like, waiting for our blessed hope. I'm like, oh, that's so good.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.